We are gathered today to worship. We're also gathered today to proclaim Christ's death. As we got to thinking about and planning for today with Valentine's Day falling on Sunday, we decided that the greatest display, the greatest act of love was done on a cross. And so we want to talk about that. We want to think about that. Jesus, through his death, made possible a covenant relationship, a saving and transforming relationship. It has been said that marriages may be made in heaven, but man is responsible for the maintenance work. Pretty good line, actually, I think. So I want us to think of the maintenance work as we first prepare to observe communion. Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 11. It's where Paul is talking to the Corinthian church about the Lord's Supper and what's going on in their church. So as we think of the maintenance work, we need to maintain a right relationship with the Lord always. Read with me 1 Corinthians 11, verse 27. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep. But if we judged ourselves rightly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord so that we will not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. While Paul does not give us a definition of what an unworthy manner is, the context suggests both attitude and action. Attitude and action. For the Corinthians, their attitude could be identified as pride and indifference. Part of the problem with the Corinthian church was that they were very divided. They were very cliquish. They had little groups. And that's kind of normal. That's kind of human nature. We tend to associate with people that we like or have common interest with. But when it came time for the church to come together to observe the Lord's Supper, they let that get in the way. Corinth was a city of different means. Some in the church had nothing, some had much. And they would observe the Lord's Supper, it appears, much like we do around Thanksgiving, and that is to have what some would refer to as a love feast, where they would actually literally share a meal, and part of that meal then would coalesce into the observance of communion. And they didn't do it like we do. They didn't do a cover dish or a potluck and, you know, whatever, and you bring it and set it out on the table and everyone shares together. Evidently, they just kind of kept to themselves even with their food. And so some had much and some had little. Those who had much didn't seem to want to share. So their pride came out in the church's observance of communion. And their indifference showed because they flaunted what they had. I was reading Ezekiel 14 this morning. And the Lord showed me two things. One was that Ezekiel is talking to Israel, to the Jewish people, and he talks about idols. And he didn't talk about idols up on the shelf. He didn't talk about idols somewhere in the home. He talked about idols of the heart. And I thought, ooh. I don't know that I have an idol in the home. I mean, I don't have a little statue. I don't have this. I don't have that. But there might be an idol in my heart. And so it's not about the physical so much as it is, nearly as much as it is about the heart. Well, the other thing he showed me was that three times he mentions three men, three Old Testament men, earlier men, Noah, Daniel, and Job. And they're all, each time it's mentioned, he makes the comment that they're righteous only for themselves. Only for themselves. So as we think about coming together to observe the Lord's communion, Lord's Supper, the communion, let me just say this to you. You cannot borrow anyone else's righteousness. You can't borrow grandpa's or daddy's or mom's or your kids. It's all about you and your heart and what's going on in your heart and life. So let me ask you some questions. What about your attitude toward other people? Do we really love people? Do we really want the best for other people? It gets displayed in terms of how we do things. Do we really love people? Are there divisions of this nature within this church where those who have more don't want to associate with those who have less? It's those kind of people, or they're the right kind of people. We graduated. Ashley Kim did. She got a PhD, putting hubby through. I'll get it right in a minute. In 1992, we went the summer of 1991 out to visit the folks in Virginia, and along the way, I don't remember the little town's name, but it was a little town in Arkansas that our neighbors, our first year of seminary, had graduated and moved to be pastor of. Well, let me tell you, Arkansas is the Deep South. At least it was for those folks. And the comment was made about them trying to reach out to African-American kids and families. And they related that somebody in the church had said, well, if they come for the right reason, it's okay. Well, what is the right reason? And did you come for the right reason? To worship? Well, it would seem to me that there was a lack of love in that church. So what about your actions? Do your actions show that it's possible to have a saving, life-transforming, heart-regenerating relationship with Christ? Is that what we're about? The Corinthians were not loving the Lord and their neighbor. They were not obedient to His word. So are you obedient to God's word? Or do you like to just kind of pick and choose? Oh, we like the part that talks about how God loves us and takes care of us, but we don't want to read the part where it says that He judges us and that He examines our hearts. And I would suggest to you that you better read both. I came across an article this week written by John Stone Street. It is entitled, "Progressive Christians Want Jesus But Not the Bible." This is what he said. The Jesus that progressive Christians claim has no other source than, well, themselves. Their own feelings, their own beliefs and preferences. Which may be descriptive of the Corinthians, but is it also descriptive of you? So before we move to taking communion together, think back over your morning, over your week. Any times of temptation that you gave into? I love to watch. I'm at the place in life. I love to watch folks like Brian and Melissa Unger. And I just cheer Bethany on. And I love it when they get a little mobility to them, because, boy, payback ramps up then. Whew, I love that. How'd you treat your kids this morning? How'd you treat husband or wife when they didn't hear you or didn't do what they needed to do to help you? Was there any time of defiance or disobedience in your heart and life this week? Another word of caution. I suggest you not partake of the Lord's Supper if you think God will be pleased with you if you do. because you cannot earn a right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ no matter what you think you can do. It is all about grace and all about a repentant heart. We have guests, and we're glad you're here. And the only stipulation that we put on, whether you partake or not, is this right relationship with Christ. Doesn't matter about church membership. It matters about your heart. Is it right with the Lord?
The Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me."
I want to read just one verse to you out of Ephesians 5, a passage that you probably have heard read at a wedding at least, but it's verse 21, where Paul writes to us, and he says, "Be subject to one another in the fear of Christ." I want you to think for just a minute about this idea that marriages may be made in heaven, but man is responsible for the maintenance work. One of the great tragedies in our day is that marriage doesn't mean anything. Either between couples living together or our government saying that anything and anybody can be married. The thing that most marriages need most is for both of partners in the marriage to pursue Christ. That's what Paul's talking about here when he says, be subject to one another. I didn't read it, but I want to just say this to you real quickly. Then he talks to the husbands. He says, love your wives as Christ loves the church. Let me tell you something. When you are raising kids in your home, the best thing you can do for them is love your spouse. Let them see their father love their mother. Let them see their mother love their father. Husbands, love your wives. Then it says to the ladies, see to it that you show respect to your husband. I don't want to give away too much, but one thing that all men have in common is that we all wonder, do we have what it takes? That's why we like the big cars and the ball games and all the stuff, to show that we're a man. Be subject to one another. I remember reading or hearing years ago, I grew up, when I was a kid, the newlywed game was on TV. For some of you, don't even know what I'm talking about. Well, one day they had an oldiewed game. They had couples that had been married for 50 years or longer. And one of the questions was how often or how many times has your spouse told you he loves you or she loves you? And the wife looked at her husband and said, one time. He told me that he loved me and that if he ever changed his mind, he'd let me know. Can I say that usually doesn't work for most of us? Be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Pursue Christ. Let that define your home. We're going to have a time of response because I think the Lord's been a part of this service. And I think His Spirit has been working in people's hearts and lives. It may be something back to before we took communion that the Lord convicted you of. And if there's anything you need to talk with anyone about, I'll be here, Jack will be here, Blake will be here. But as the Lord has worked in your heart and life, if you need to make something public, now's the time. Let's pray again. Father, we have gathered to worship. And now we're going to respond. Respond to you. Respond to your word. Respond to the Spirit's moving and working in our hearts and lives. So continue to work. Continue to bring conviction if conviction is needed. Encouragement if encouragement is needed. Father, search our hearts now and show us. We pray in Christ's name together. Amen. Stand with me as we respond.
Have thine own way. Thank you.
There it is. Doug, what did you say your last name was? Hunter. They're from South Carolina. They came up to see the show at the Performing Arts Center last night, and he said, I want to share with you something. So, Doug, come.
Thank you, Robert. I'm not a public speaker, so I just kind of ask you guys to bear with me a little bit. While Robert was talking this morning, I feel like the Lord laid it on my heart just to share part of my life with you guys. He talked about the love the Lord had for us, and he laid down his life for us. He talked about the love the Lord has for the church and that we have for the church and the love we should have for each other. And I just want to share a portion of my life with you guys to kind of emphasize that. It does mean so much to each and every one of you here today to share that love with your fellow, with your fellow citizens and members of the church. In 2002, I made an appointment to have a colonoscopy done. I was way past the normal period of time to have it done because I knew at age 55 I should have regular colonoscopies. For some reason or another, I'd put it off for years. I left work, told them I'd be back later today, just going to have a colonoscopy done. Felt fine, felt great. Left work, went to have my colonoscopy done, went through the processing and everything, got in the middle of the colonoscopy. The doctor woke me up and said, sit up, I've got something to show you. So when I sat up, it showed me up on the video screen there. My colonoscopy was 99% closed off. And he said, you see that mass? I said, yes, I see that. He said, that's cancer. Just like that, that's cancer. My whole life flashed in front of me. My wife, outside in the waiting room. So he said, basically, what do you want to do? And I said, well, you've already got me prepared. Let's just see if we can go to surgery immediately and get it out. So he said, can you share this with your wife? So I said, yes, I'll share it with her. He called her in to the room. He said, okay, now I want you to share it with her. And I started off trying to break it in kindly, gently, and I said, well, we got some polyps there. And I was going to say that it needed to come out, but he interrupted me immediately. He said, that's not what I told you. I told you you had cancer. And of course, at that point in time, it was a complete shock to her, too. So we all agreed that if we could get a doctor, we were going to go ahead and do it. So while he stepped out of the room to see if he could make arrangements for him to go ahead and have my surgery, I just turned over and said a little prayer to the Lord. I said, Lord, you have blessed me. You have blessed my family over the years. We have two great friends back there that we travel with. We've been all over the United States together. I said, you really blessed me. I'm sure you have a plan in mind. I may never know what that plan is, and that doesn't matter, because I know you have a plan. And that plan, there's someone's going to benefit from it. Something's good going to come out of it. At that time, I had a peace that came over me. Everything is well. Got the message from the Lord. Everything is well. Of course, after that, this was on a Thursday afternoon. We couldn't do the surgery until Saturday. But when I had checked into the hospital, my wife called our preacher. The word got out with our church. And I could just feel the prayers coming from our church. I give glory to the Lord. But I just want you to know that a loving church can mean so much. And as Robert talked about, the love of the people, share your love each and every day with your family, with your friends, because you never know from one day to the next what the Lord has in store for you. On the good part about it, as I went into surgery and came out, the doctors came to my wife and they said, we don't think it's cancer. We don't think it's cancer at all. Of course, they did the biopsy and sent it off. Came back. The mass was not cancerous. I did have some cancerous cells and some of my lymph nodes, so they removed those. I went through chemo every morning. I just try to thank the Lord for what he's done for me. And again, how great the Lord is, what his love for us is, how great our love is for the church, and how great our love needs to be for our family, our church family, and our friends and our neighbors. And I thank you, Robert.
Thank you, Doug. Let me introduce to you David Frank. David, I think you moved here December 29th, wasn't it?
Yes.
And the 3rd of January, he enrolls the car, and I pretty much know your vehicle, those of you who come to Sunday school, and it's like, I don't know whose car that is. Actually, I think I was already back up in my office, and I came down, and incognito, he didn't realize I was the pastor. And David has been becoming a part of this church, and now he wants to become a part of this church as a member. A brother in Christ who has been baptized by immersion. So are you willing to accept him? We're glad you're here. We're glad you're here. Come by and give him a word. I got my thing off here, and I'm going to get that back on. Two things. We have observed communion today, and as we are normally do, we will be taking up a deacon benevolence offering at the door. So, men, whatever you need to do to get there. And this benevolence, this offering goes to basically help folks within the church as there are needs that arise. And you say, boy, yeah, I don't know. Lunch is downstairs. It's ready. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this day, for the opportunity to worship, and thank you for how you take care of us. We thank you for a good meal that we know we're going to enjoy. And so we praise you in Christ's name. Amen. Go get your drink. Sit down. Everyone needs to stay for lunch. See you down there. Come by and welcome David.